for Project Spurs. I'm Paul Garcia, and this is the Spurs Cast. In today's episode, I'll be reviewing the latest roster updates for the Spurs and looking at some of the shooting around Victor Wembanyama entering this season. Let's go ahead and jump right into this episode of the Spurs Cast. So it's been about 2 weeks since I last recorded an episode. There hasn't been much news. There's just been some minor roster updates with the team. So let's go ahead and jump right into those. And then, like I said, I have a topic I want to talk about that's kind of using some data from last year regarding the shooting that's going to for the players that are going to be shooting the basketball around Victor Wembanyama. So let's go ahead and jump right into the latest news and updates for the team. So the first news is that the Spurs have filled all three of their two-way contracts. In the last 2 weeks, they signed Seth Milner Jr. to a two-way contract. He's a 6'7 forward who went undrafted in the 2023 NBA draft out of Toledo. We did see Milner on the Spurs' Summer League Vegas team. And so in five games in Vegas, he scored 5.2 points per game, 3.2 rebounds, and one assist in 17.8 minutes. And so now Milner, being on a two-way contract, does close off the open roster spots for two-way spots on the Spurs with him joining Dominic Barlow and Sir Jabari Rice. They're on two-way contracts. So there's all three players now have a two-way contract on the Spurs. That's Barlow, Rice, and Seth Milner Jr. The Spurs are also, it looks like they're getting their Austin Spurs G League team roster ready as well in the process. So one thing that we saw them do was that in the last week, they signed Javonte McCoy then to a training camp contract. Then they waived him. What that allows them to do is get him back most likely on the Austin team later on in the season. So we could end up seeing Javonte McCoy back with the Spurs on the Austin Spurs, should we say. And he was also part of the Spurs' Summer League Vegas and California teams. Currently, as I'm recording this, as of 5:49 Mountain Time on Thursday, September 28th, the Spurs signed Raekwon Gray yesterday on the 27th. And so he's still on the roster right now on a training camp contract. But, we'll monitor that because, like I said, he could end up getting waived in the next few hours or tomorrow or even Saturday. And then, again, the reason why they would waive him is to be able to sign him onto the Austin Spurs later on in the season, or maybe they don't waive him and he goes into training camp on the full roster, and we'll see if he's able to make the camp roster, which is probably unlikely just because they already have to make some other roster cuts, as we've talked about in the past. And so currently with Raekwon Gray on the team, the Spurs do have 21 players on the roster, which means they have a full roster as of right now. Like I said, the only way they can add a player is if they waive Gray, and then they could sign another training camp player and then waive that player and try to get them on the Austin Spurs. So again, we might see them make a few more roster moves here before training camp officially begins on Tuesday with the team. And with that, our next topic is basically training camp begins on Tuesday. That's it. I mean, I know it's been a lot of weeks and it almost feels like a really long time of no basketball since the Spurs, ended their season back in April. But, it's starting soon here. So what's going to happen is on Monday, the Spurs will hold media day. I plan on being there. So if you follow projectspurs.com, keep an eye on what I'll be writing there. I'll be writing, if there's anything that some takeaways from Coach Pop or the players that speak to us on media day, I'll be writing those articles. And so just keep updates on that. And then on Tuesday, practice officially begins for the Spurs. So Tuesday, they begin training camp October 3rd. They will have 6 days of practice before their first preseason game, which would take place on Monday, October 9th at the Oklahoma City Thunder. That should be a fun game if everyone's available to play. We know that, a lot of times in preseason games, the coaching staff of different teams, including the Spurs, they don't usually play all the players, in those games. So it'll be interesting to see, who the Spurs have out there, who the Thunder have out there. And maybe we'll start to see what the starting five for the Spurs could look like, or the players may reveal like in interviews and during training camp, who has been the starting five and who's been coming off the bench. So that could be some things that are going to we're going to start getting some answers, should I say, about those questions regarding the team. Even though the Spurs are beginning training camp next week and also, they'll start their preseason games right after that, we do know still that they need to make some roster moves before opening night of the regular season, which is, later on in October. And so as we mentioned multiple times now in multiple Spurs Cast episodes over the summer, the Spurs do need to waive or trade two players on guaranteed deals before opening night. And so those most likely players, candidates would likely be Kem Birch, Devontae Graham, Reggie Bullock, or Jetty Osmond. So again, those are the four players to kind of keep an eye on in terms of two of those players either would have to be waived or traded before opening night of the regular season. So the Spurs have training camp to figure this out, or all their preseason games, five preseason games before they have to make these decisions. Maybe they have a team that wants to trade with them for some of these players, or maybe they can't find anyone to trade. And so they would unfortunately have to waive two of those players. And so now for the last topic, like I said, I just kind of wanted to dive into some of the shooting around Wemby in terms of looking at some of the data from last year. So before we begin this discussion and you know, project the graphics there for those of you that are watching the visual format, I did want to make some notes, mention some things before we dive into this data, before it's presented to you. One, you know, be very cautious with this data. It is based on last year, last season. Some of these players on they were with different teams. Some players, they had barely joined the Spurs very late in the season, and then you know other players are gone that were on the team that you know that it's a whole new team coming in basically. And then another factor to consider is maybe these players, if you see, you know, some low shooting numbers, maybe they worked on their shot over the offseason. So again, it's a brand new season starting next week when training camp opens, and so this is just something cautious, but you know it is a topic I want to explore using last year's data. And so you know, just again, take that, just keep that in mind as we present these numbers to you in this episode. So the way you're going to see this table listed is it's listing the players from the percentage of threes that were attempted wide open last season. So we're going to see the most, the players who got the open looks the most to the least. And so obviously we know that if they were open the most, they were players that teams were backing off of, wanting them to shoot threes. And then the players with the least, with the smaller percentage, they were the players that are very dangerous shooters who have that shooter profile where teams are very, you know, worried about them, you know, taking threes wide open. And so they were, and it's your typical players that are shooters as you'll see here in the list. And so that's just one thing to keep an eye on. And then I'm also going to provide some context on some of the other players, especially the new players, because their numbers may not match what the data shows here. And then on the other column, you're going to see something called points per shot on wide open threes. And so when we look at the league average last year, it was about 1.16 points per shot. So that's it's about 38.6%. That means that's what the average was last year. And so players that were above that on the Spurs, I'm gonna highlight their number in green. And then if not, you'll see how close or far away they were from that number. All right, so let's go ahead and jump into this discussion here of you know, the shooting that of the players that are gonna be around Victor Wembanyama, you know, and who's most likely to you know, where teams might back off that player, or they're going to be worried about doing that. And you know, that way Wemby has more area to play make and get involved and you know, drive against the defense.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
So the first player is Reggie Bullock. And so again, this is already one of those players who need some context, because you know, we think of Reggie Bullock as automatically as a shooter, and so we do want to be very cautious. His data was with the Dallas Mavericks, and the playmaker who was around him was Luka Doncic, and then of course later on in the season it was Kyrie Irving. So you know, Luka is going to set you up for really good looks, and so we see that here in the data where Reggie got 81% of his threes were attempted wide open last season with Dallas. He shot 1.13 points per shot, which is just, you know, barely under the league average. And again, with the Spurs, if he makes it, you know, all the way to the season, because again, he's one of those players who can end up getting traded or waived, then obviously I don't think that he would get 81% of his shots wide open. I think he would fall more so to that bottom area where teams are worried about him, where you know, they don't want to leave him wide open. So again, his numbers are more so about the context of who he was playing with, what team he was on prior. Then we look at Jeremy Sochan. 79% of his attempts were attempted wide open. He shot 0.76 points per shot. So, you know, this is kind of expected. Sochan didn't come in last year as a rookie, as a shooter. He's more so a playmaker when he has the ball in his hands. We did see that at the free throw line last year, he made significant improvement when he went to that one-handed free throw shot in December. You know, he immediately got his free throw accuracy boosted. And then also we saw him have a little bit more confidence in taking his threes. And so for him, I'm just more so interested to see, is that something that he worked on? Did he work on his outside shooting? Because even though we know, again, his priority is not to be a 3-point shooter, it's more so to drive the ball, you know, get the ball moving around the court, you know, be a versatile player there on offense. There are going to be situations where maybe defenses are backing off of him, and he maybe, you know, either they're double teaming Wemby. And so there's maybe late in the shot clock, he'll have to take a three. And so we'll see if he improves on that number in this coming season. Sandro Mamukelashvili, 78% of his threes were attempted wide open last season. He shot 1.04 points per shot. This is a small amount of data because Mamu had joined the team very late in I think it was like March or late February. And so that's one thing to caution. But then two is that with the eye test, we see that he's very comfortable taking those wide open threes. We saw it even recently in FIBA, where with his country, Georgia, he was able to, you know, pick and pop for threes. He was able to space out the floor, and he's very comfortable being out there on the arc where he can play, you know, and space the floor for the team. So I am interested to see if and he has good form too on his shot, where I'm interested to see if he could boost that, if he gets those wide open threes, if he could boost that number up a little bit, his points per shot. So it was at 1.04 last year. I think he can get closer, you know, maybe it's like, you know, a little bit more higher there on that number. So I think Mamu would be comfortable to spacing out the floor for San Antonio. Zach Collins, 73% of his threes were attempted wide open last season. And he actually did well. I mean, on the ones that he did take, again, he shot 1.15 points per shot, which is basically right there at league average. And so Zach is a critical player there, because we expect that he's going to start alongside Victor Wembanyama, where Wemby will be at the four, Zach will be at the five. And so again, you know, defenses may be worried about Wemby and want to double team him. And like we saw, they left Zach open for 73% of his shots last year for three. And so, is he ready to knock those down? And he will have to do that to get them to, you know, pay more attention to him. And so, like we said, if he shoots like he did last year, then yes, I mean, that's a good number right there, to be right there at 1.15. So we know that Zach is very capable, and it will be a something to watch, because again, he's going to be out there as the five alongside Victor. Malachi Branham, 72% of his shots were attempted wide open last year, and he shot 0.98 points per shot. He has really good form in his shot, so I do expect that if he even gets those kind of looks, those will go in at a higher rate this coming season. And I don't expect him to see 72% of his shots wide open again. I think that you know, he's going to draw more attention, and I don't think teams would leave him open you know, purposely next year. I think Branham can get that percentage higher, and also I think again, defenses are going to be more honed in on him as a player and not wanting him to be wide open there out on the court. Jetty Osman, his data was collected from Cleveland because he was with the Cavs last year, and we do want to mention too some context where he's with two very dynamic playmakers. He's alongside Donovan Mitchell, who draws a lot of attention, and then also Darius Garland. And so we see that 68% of his shots were attempted wide open with Cleveland, and he actually made those very well, 1.22 points per shot. And so again, we don't know if he'll even be on the team by the time the season starts. You know, maybe he gets traded, maybe he gets waived. He's one of those players to watch there. And so if he is on the team though, and they're leaving him wide open, then again, he's showing that if he can shoot like last year, he's going to make the defense pay for leaving him wide open, according to this data. Trey Jones, he's a key player to watch here. 67% of his shots were attempted wide open from three last year. He did struggle a little bit, 0.79 points per shot. And he's a player to watch, because we obviously, you know, we would expect him to most likely be the Spurs' starting point guard. And so again, if he's starting out there alongside Victor Wembanyama, and if he's not shooting the three ball, or he's not a threat from three, then teams are going to back off him and maybe start, you know, double teaming, and, you know, or just backing off a little bit more. And so I am eager to see, is that a shot that he worked on as well over the offseason? Again, it may not be his go-to shot. We know he's more comfortable with driving in and doing those floaters and layups and things like that. But again, if he's left wide open, he's going to have to knock those down. And so we'll see if he improves on that accuracy number as well last year. Blake Wesley, 53% of his shots were attempted wide open from three, but I do want to caution, his was a very small sample size. I think he only took 27 attempts on those wide open threes, so it was a very low number. But when he did shoot them, I mean, he made them at a good clip here, 1.11 points per shot. And again, if he ends up being the backup point guard this season, then and you know, whether he's out on the floor with Wemby or if he's just in different lineups, then and if they leave him wide open, he's going to have to make those shots. So again, we'll see if he's able to continue that at a higher volume next in this coming season. Keldon Johnson, 36% of his shots were attempted wide open. So we saw the defenses gave him way more attention than in the prior season in 21-22. He did struggle a little bit more, though, at 1.00 points per shot. I looked at his data, and he was at 1.20 the year before. And so I'm eager to see if he can get that number back up to where it was, you know, closer to like 1.20 points per shot, because we saw that he could do it for one season. And then just something to monitor was that, you know, we saw that with his three-point shot last year, it was more so like a roller coaster. He started off really well, and then it kind of dipped in like late November, early December, and then he kind of struggled a little bit as the year went on. So again, we'll kind of see what happens if that's something that he's worked on, or if he could just even get it back to how it was the prior year. And so Keldon, we saw, though, that the defenses did not want him to take as many as he did in the prior season before. And then these last four players are what I would say like your typical shooters who defenses are going to be worried about these players, and they all have very similar numbers in terms of the amount of threes that they're left wide open. So that's Devin Vassell, Julian Champagne, Doug McDermott, and Devontae Graham. Devin, 29% of his shots were attempted wide open from three, so defenses were very worried about him. Same thing for Champagne, just 27%, Doug 22%, and then Graham 20%, even though Graham was with the team just for a few weeks, for like a month, once he was traded to San Antonio. And so again, we see that all these players are very dangerous shooters from three. I know that who is it? Champagne has a lower number there at 0.95, but you know, we saw in summer league how he just kind of, you know, anytime he didn't even need that much space, he was able to get those threes off. And so I think if you give him good wide open looks, he's going to make them. And he also had a very small sample size since he joined the team very late in the season. But those are more so like your four shooters who defenses most of the time when they're out there on the floor, those four players, defenses aren't going to back off those players. Those are the four players that the defense is really worried about out there. So again, that's just kind of what I wanted to explore was, you know, when we're visually looking at this team and they're out there on the floor, the players, you know, and Wemby's got the ball in his hands, or they're trying to do some sort of action for him to initiate or create, you know, who are the players that got to kind of monitor to see, you know, our defense is backing off those players that can immediately double team Wemby if those players don't have the ball in their hand. And so those are just some questions that I wanted to kind of explore and just look at diving into last year's data. And like I said, these numbers could be, you know, changed very quickly as training camp begins and we start getting, you know, once October rolls around and the season does start for San Antonio. So that was just a quick look at some of the three-point shooting, the wide open three-point shooting from last season. Thanks for listening to this episode of the SpursCast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe, rate, and review on YouTube and your favorite podcast apps. This episode was written, recorded, and produced by Paul Garcia. Music for this episode was written by Vincent Garcia and Paul Garcia. Thank you. Have a great day.